Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Thursday, June the 28th. Gas prices are high everywhere, but our guest this hour says they don't have to be as high as they are in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a minimum markup law, which forces retailers to mark up the price of their product, like gas, by a certain percentage. It's meant to help mom-and-pop retailers from being priced out by larger companies. But our guest says the law hurts competition and consumers, and he's the lead attorney in a lawsuit against the state's minimum markup law. Gil Halstead reports.
Merrill gas station owner Raj Bhandari says his gas sales dropped by 300 gallons a day after he stopped offering discounts to senior citizens and to supporters of the local youth hockey league. He ended the discounts after state officials warned him he might face fines of more than $2,000 a gallon because he was violating the state's minimum markup law. Now he's challenging the law, claiming it violates the state constitution's equal protection clause. His attorney, Bob McNamara, says he's outraged that Wisconsin would fine a small business because its product isn't expensive enough.
It's simply ridiculous, and we couldn't believe it. We got in touch with Raj. Raj couldn't believe it, and we decided to do something about it.
Wisconsin is one of only 20 states that enforce a minimum markup on gasoline, and state supreme courts in Georgia, Kentucky, and Arkansas have struck down similar laws. But supporters of the law, like Bob Bartlett of the Wisconsin Petroleum Marketers Association, say it protects independent gas station owners from being driven out of business by large retailers like Walmart.
If we felt that this was somehow disadvantaging the single-store operators, we'd probably have a different position, but that's certainly not been our analysis.
Governor Jim Doyle wouldn't comment on the merits of the lawsuit, but he says he's always favored repealing the law because it punishes retailers simply for reducing their prices. The law withstood a constitutional challenge in a 2002 appeals court ruling, but attorneys in the current suit say they've got a stronger case. It will likely take 3 years for it to reach the state's high court. Gil Halstead, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So the question that we ask you this hour is, do you think the state's minimum markup law should stay or go? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Do you agree with the argument that this minimum markup law when it comes to gasoline helps smaller gas stations? If you have any questions or comments, we welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Now let's welcome our guest, Bob McNamara, staff attorney for the Institute for Justice, lead attorney in the suit that's being brought up against the state's minimum markup law. And let me also say that we did put out calls to the Wisconsin Petroleum Marketers and some other state lawmakers to try to give you the other side during this hour, but no one was able to or returned our phone calls to join us for a debate. So a one-sided debate this hour, but maybe you have a different viewpoint. Bob McNamara joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So you said in the piece that you think this is ridiculous, but is it really that ridiculous?
It's completely ridiculous, Joy. Essentially, in this day of skyrocketing gas prices, the government is threatening Raj with thousands of dollars in fines because his prices weren't high enough. More than 30 states allow the kind of competition that Wisconsin is currently banning. Three different state Supreme Courts have struck down laws a lot like Wisconsin's within the past 15 years, and we haven't seen any negative effects for consumers or small businesses. Basically, what the law is outlawing is a common and beneficial business practice that business people, especially small business people like Raj, use to build ties in their communities, build customer loyalty, and help save their consumers money. There's no reason whatsoever for Wisconsin to ban this sort of practice across the board.
Yeah. What sorts of he was offering discounts to civics groups or something?
Raj was offering two discounts, one to senior citizens and one to people who had donated to support a local youth hockey league. But the law prevents a lot more than that. There are all sorts of creative discount programs that Raj would like to offer and would be able to offer if not for Wisconsin's law. Simple things like customer loyalty programs where after every certain number of visits, a customer can get a few gallons of free gas. that is illegal under Wisconsin state law. And without access to the sort of creative discount schemes and creative loyalty programs, people like Raj don't have a way to compete in the market with the bigger retailers, which is exactly why you'll find the bigger retailers support this law, because it's actually the small businessmen and the entrepreneurs and the consumers who are hurt.
The law says what, that 6% that a gas station owner needs to hike the price by 6% over wholesale?
Actually, it's 9.18% over wholesale, or 6% over the gas station's own cost, whichever is higher.
I see. But the bigger retailers can then, if this law doesn't exist, you know, offer gas for a penny a gallon, or, you know, and then when the small retailer goes out of business because he or she can't compete with the very, very low price that, say, a Walmart could afford, then the prices go up after that mom-and-pop business goes out of business.
Well, Joy, the simple answer is that more than 30 states allow exactly the sort of competition that Wisconsin is currently banning, and we have not seen that happen. That simply isn't the way the world works. That we don't see, for example, Illinois has no minimum markup law, and we have not seen the monopolization of the Illinois gas market. That just doesn't happen. And most states have recognized that. In the 1930s, a lot of states passed laws exactly like Wisconsin. Most of them realized that they're counterproductive, that they hurt the small businessmen, they hurt entrepreneurs, and they hurt consumers. And they've either repealed them or seen them struck down by the courts. Wisconsin at this point is really an outlier in holding on to this relic from the 1930s that doesn't serve any legitimate government purpose.
We are talking with Bob McNamara, staff attorney for the Institute for Justice, lead attorney in a lawsuit that has been brought up against the state's minimum markup law. We're wondering what questions you have, whether or not you think the state's minimum markup law is hurting or helping consumers. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Thursday, June the 28th. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. We're talking about Wisconsin's minimum markup law and a lawsuit that is pending against the law, talking with the lead attorney with that case, Bob McNamara, staff attorney for the Institute for Justice. The Institute for Justice says that the state's minimum markup law not only stifles competition and harms consumers, it is unconstitutional. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The minimum markup law makes it illegal to sell gasoline without marking it up, either 6% over cost or about 9.1% over the local wholesale price, whichever is higher. A Merrill gas station owner was offering some discounts and apparently violating this minimum markup law, and when threatened with fines, had to stop, and then the lawsuit. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We have an open line for you. Mark in Chilton, though, is with us. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I absolutely cannot disagree with this gentleman any more strongly than I could today. Yesterday, on the 27th, I was at my friend's fuel station that they shut down after they cashed in their 401ks. They sold their home and invested 5 years of their life in the community that that station was in and in that business, in that building. And one of the problems that they had was that Quick Trip was down the street. And because the minimum markup law was not enforced, they were, especially after credit card processing fees, they were selling their fuel at a loss.
Who was
just to stay competitive?
Quick Trip was.
My friends that just lost their station were selling their fuel at a loss after credit card processing fees because that law was not enforced. They repeatedly contacted the authorities, and they would not enforce that law. So not only does that law need to stay in place,
it needs to be enforced.
Yeah.
I've seen the laws firsthand. This gentleman is patently incorrect.
Yeah. Well, what about this, Bob McNamara?
Well, the problem with the law is that it actually outlaws the sorts of creative competition that would help small businesses stay in place. There are exceptions to the law. One of the exceptions is for ethanol retailers like the Quick Trip this gentleman's referring to. And there are other ways to offer discounts if you're a larger retailer. For example, if you have a discount program that's funded by a vendor where the discount is actually a refund coming from a larger corporation and not coming from the retailer, that is also not covered by the minimum markup law. So what we have is if you are a small independent operator like this gentleman's friend, it's illegal for you to introduce your own sort of creative discount programs. Your own method to convince people to come into your store instead of into Quick Trips. You can't offer innovative customer loyalty programs. You can't offer the sort of community-spirited discounts that Raj was offering. And because of that, it is, I agree, it's incredibly difficult to compete as a small businessman and a small operator in this market. But that's because of the minimum markup law. And without the minimum markup law, creative businessmen, including the small entrepreneurs, will have a better opportunity to compete. And it's that opportunity that we're asking the state courts to recognize, that these small businessmen have a right to earn an honest living free from unnecessary government interference, and that consumers and entrepreneurs, not the state capital bureaucrats, should be setting the price of gas in Wisconsin like they do in most states in this country.
Yeah. Did I understand you correctly, Rob McNamara, that Quick Trip could sell its gas without this minimum markup law because it is gasoline that contains ethanol and it's not, the law doesn't apply to the gas with ethanol?
The law is not being enforced against gas with ethanol. That's right. That's one of the several exceptions to the law as it's currently enforced.
Yeah. And Mark, so that's the case, is that it's not being enforced because Quick Trip has ethanol.
Not in all cases. No, sir. No, ma'am. Excuse me. Absolutely not. And the fact still remains that if the law was enforced as it should be, my friends would not have had to pay out of their pocket to stay competitive. The math is the math. If they were not even getting enough money to cover their operating expenses to sell that fuel. That fuel for most stations is merely a draw to get them into the store to purchase sundry items. Not unlike when you go to the theater, the real money is made on concessions. So by losing that minimum markup so that they can at least cover their operating expenses for selling the fuel, which is merely a draw, the small guy is really going to lose. I've been there. I've seen it. It's sickening to watch it happen.
Yeah,
I just absolutely cannot disagree more strongly. Yes, it is true that the percentage of the gasoline, which is ethanol-based, is not subject to the minimum markup law. That percentage, that is true. However, that still is not going to help people who have invested their lives into a small business.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, Mark, though. Our guest is saying that if the minimum markup law was not there, that your friends could have offered creative discounts and other things to remain competitive.
How, when they cannot cover their expenses with the minimum markup law of 6%, how could they have reduced their prices further and stay competitive? You aren't competitive when you aren't covering your minimum operating costs for selling that product. That would be like me as a handyman offering a discount to the point where it was costing me money to fix your home. That's nonsensical.
Well, Robert McNamara?
Well, sir, I obviously can't talk directly about the financial state of your friend's gas station, and I'm not guaranteeing that every single small business will succeed, but the fact of the matter is that in small businesses like Raj's, the best way to survive is to offer something that the bigger players aren't offering, to offer something like a customer loyalty program that gives customers a reason to stop into your station every time, because on every 10th visit, they'll get several gallons of free gas. because on every 10th visit, they'll get, on every 5th visit, perhaps, they'll get a free bottle of soda or a bottle of soda for a penny. And these are the sorts of creative programs that the law is banning right now. And that without the ability to offer innovative discount programs, without the ability to build the sorts of ties in the community and connections to a consumer that small businesses need a lot more than large businesses, that we won't see any entrepreneurs. I'm certainly not guaranteeing that every entrepreneur can succeed or will succeed, but if we care about small business, if we care about giving the small businesses and the small entrepreneurs a fair shake and a chance to do what entrepreneurs do best, which is to offer creative things, creative programs that are not being offered by the bigger players in the market, then the minimum markup law has to go. It is a flat ban on all of the programs that a small businessman would use to stay in business.
Our report from our reporter Gil Halstead that I played at the top of the hour said that Wisconsin's law withstood a constitutional challenge in a 2002 appeals court ruling. Why do you think it'll be different this time around?
Well, in 2002 challenge was brought in federal court under the federal constitution. Our challenge is brought in state court under the Wisconsin state constitution, which actually offers greater protection to individual citizens and greater protection to the rights of small entrepreneurs like Raj to earn an honest living.
Yeah. Well, why is this unconstitutional under the state's constitution?
Under the Wisconsin constitution, a state law has to be advancing a legitimate government purpose. And this law is unconstitutional in two ways. First, it singles out gasoline as a product for a unique and completely arbitrary mandatory markup. If Raj would like to sell Twinkies for exactly what he paid for them, that is legal under the law. However, he has to mark up his gasoline. He's not allowed to compete on price on gasoline in the same way he's allowed on Twinkies. And the statute is a broad statute aimed at the sale of goods. But, for example, if Raj were a larger company and could afford to hire more employees, it's perfectly legal for him to, for example, wash everyone's car for free. But he can't give away coffee for free with the gas. And that is arbitrary and discriminatory. The simple fact at the heart of this is that this law does absolutely nothing to protect the public health or safety. This law protects nothing except the profit margins of the larger gas retailers. And that is flatly unconstitutional. The government, in order to restrict the rights of an entrepreneur like Raj, has to be advancing some legitimate purpose. And this law not only fails to advance any legitimate purpose, it's actually pernicious. It makes it harder for small businessmen, and it makes things harder on the consumer.
We will check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we hope to hear from you. Do you think the state's minimum markup law is unfair to small gas stations? Should it be repealed? Should it be taken off the books? Our guest says it should be. Bob McNamara is an attorney with the Institute for Justice, which is going to challenge the state's minimum markup law in court. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, June the 28th. A Merrill, Wisconsin gas station owner who was threatened with big fines for violating the state's minimum markup law on gasoline. He was giving out 2 cents per gallon discounts to senior citizens and 3 cents per gallon discounts for a youth hockey league. Is taking the state to court over the minimum markup law. We are talking with his attorney, Bob McNamara, staff attorney for the Institute for Justice, and we welcome your thoughts and questions about this lawsuit and about this law in particular. Do you think the state's minimum markup law is good or bad for consumers? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. The state's minimum markup law requires gas station owners to hike the price of a by about 6% over cost, or 9.18% over the local wholesale price, whichever is higher. Our guest says that this law is ridiculous, that it is unfair, and that it is unconstitutional. We wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Mark in Rock Springs is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
How are you doing this morning? I think we need to get rid of the law. I guess I'm against it. I think Big Brother needs to let us come up with our own creative ideas and to single out fuel. I guess I was listening to that caller about when you're talking about Quick Trip, and I think Quick Trip actually overcharges because of the ethanol in it. So, I mean, it's for them not to go after Quick Trip just because they put ethanol in their fuel. And I don't know if there's an overpricing law. You know, you can't overprice things. But, no, I think we need to let our stations and our mom-and-pop shops or whatever come up with their own creative ideas. Why single them out and...
Mm-hmm. Bob McNamara, I don't know.
I think that's exactly right. To be perfectly frank, protecting consumers from gasoline that's too inexpensive is basically like protecting them from pillows that are too soft. There's no legitimate reason to do so, and the caller's exactly right that consumers and creative entrepreneurs are the people who should be deciding the price of gas, that we don't need state bureaucrats from Madison deciding what gas should cost from across the state.
Yeah. Those bureaucrats, though, are work for consumer protection. So... that's what the claim is that this this protects consumers because it's not going to allow the big guy to force the little guy out of business.
It doesn't allow the little guy to offer the consumer something that the consumer might want more than what the big guy has on offer. The big guy is the big guy. He always has all the advantages. And the way for the small entrepreneur to survive in the market is to offer something creative, to offer something new. That's what entrepreneurs are for. That's what they've done in this country for decades, is they have come up with new and creative business ideas, new and creative discount plans, new and creative ways to save consumers money. And those new and creative ways to save consumers money are now illegal in Wisconsin if you're running a gas station. And really, as I said, essentially, they're protecting consumers from low prices. They're protecting them from soft pillows. The only thing this law effectively protects is the profit margins of the bigger retailers. It protects big retailers from creative price competition by small and creative entrepreneurs like Raj.
Yeah. Dennis in River Falls is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a question. It's also about how many mom-and-pop outfits that actually we have in Wisconsin. So I'm wondering if that's a bit of a false front for the law at this point. And also a comment that I work, like thousands of others, over in Minnesota, and see that not only, to fill on gas in Wisconsin, is it going to cost me 12 to 22 cents higher, but most of us are smart enough, not to pay that. We can fill on for less money. And when you look how many thousands of cars cross the river every day to go to work in Western or in the metro area of Minnesota, the Twin Cities, just think of what the loss of revenue is to the state of Wisconsin by that law.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the price disparity is just because of this law, but because we also probably have a higher gas tax, Dennis?
Well, that may be, but it's not consistently 22. Sometimes it's down, it's almost equal. So it's a marketing ploy, and I think that whole, it needs to be looked that because I'm sure it doesn't cost that much more to bring a tanker truck across the river.
Yeah. Well, you want to comment on that, Bob McNamara?
Well, I actually don't know precisely how many ma-and-pop gas stations there are in the state of Wisconsin, but I do know that Raj owns his gas station with his wife, and they do have kids, so they are quite literally a ma-and-pop gas station. And Raj will tell you that this law directly harms the ma-and-pop gas station, that it prevents him from offering the sorts of things he needs to offer to survive in the market, and the sorts of things that his consumers really respond to. There are still senior citizens coming into Raj's gas station and asking, what happened to the discounts? We loved getting the discounts. Why can't you give us that anymore? And Raj has to explain to them that it's not that he doesn't want to save them money, it's that he's just not allowed to.
Yeah, and he is claiming that he has been losing money since he stopped offering the discounts.
His sales have dropped, he says, about 300 gallons a day.
Yeah. Why is the Institute for Justice pursuing this? I mean, you found out about Raj. He didn't contact you. You found out about him.
That's true. Mm. I actually read about Raj in the newspaper and contacted him just because it seems ridiculous for the government to threaten someone with thousands of dollars in fines because his gas wasn't expensive enough. The Institute for Justice litigates in cases across the country where the rights of individuals are being trampled by government. We litigate in four areas, one of which is economic liberty, which is what Raj's case is fundamentally about. We protect the rights of individuals to earn an honest living free from unreasonable government interference. It is a fundamental right and has been in this country for more than 100 years to pursue the occupation of your choice in the manner of your choosing, subject only to those regulations that are necessary to protect the public health and safety. Arbitrary and irrational regulations, like the minimum markup law, do nothing but interfere with the individual's right to provide for himself, provide for his family, and provide for his community in the way he sees fit. So in response to both the outrageousness of the situation and to our broader mission of advancing economic liberty and the right to earn an honest living across the country, we thought that this case was an excellent example, not just to protect entrepreneurs like Raj in Wisconsin, and not just to help the consumers in Wisconsin, but really to advance the idea of economic liberty for all kinds of entrepreneurs in Wisconsin and across the country.
Sharon in Sheboygan is with us now. Hi, Sharon.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question. I was wondering why gas stations, or the gas can be reduced with grocery points. For some reason, they can give discounts, but a person who owns their own gas station cannot.
Are you talking about, I know that a grocery store that I go to will give me a coupon to get 10 cents off a gallon of gas at a particular brand of a gas station if I spend $50 at their grocery store. Is that what you mean, Sharon?
Yes, that is correct.
The grocery store is probably paying for that, right, Bob McNamara?
I'm not familiar with the details of that particular program, but I would imagine that's exactly what's happening here. And that is one of the really incredibly ridiculous things about this law, and that's what makes this law so harmful to the small businessmen like Raj, that if you are a little larger and can convince a grocery store chain or a larger corporate entity to fund discounts that help you effectively lower your price and that help you draw in consumers with lower prices, you are perfectly free to do that. But if you're a smaller player, if you are a small businessman like Raj, you can't necessarily convince a grocery store chain to enter into that kind of partnership with you because you own one or two gas stations. And so the law, far from protecting consumers or protecting small businesses, makes it incredibly difficult, if not impossible, for smaller businessmen to actually compete on any kind of level playing field with the bigger businesses. This law doesn't protect small businesses from the big businesses. This law protects the big businesses from the small businesses. And that's why you see the bigger businesses supporting it in the face of challenges from small entrepreneurs like Raj.
What does the law exactly say? As far as I know, the law says that you cannot give discounts to your customers when you're a small business, but apparently that the grocery store can give discounts. What does the law really say?
Well, the law makes it illegal. What the law actually says is it's illegal to sell anything below cost, and the statute gets to the gas markups by basically playing games with the definition of cost. If you're selling gas, your cost doesn't mean what you paid for the gas. It means what you paid for the gas plus an arbitrary markup. But if you get a discount that's coming from a grocery store, if the grocery store is giving you 30 cents towards your gas at this other gas station, then the gas station isn't selling below cost because it's the grocery store that's giving you the money back.
Yeah, I have to jump in because it's weather break time. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. About 11 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7, the Bush administration is split on the future of Guantanamo Bay. On this program a couple of weeks ago, we heard from a guest who argued that Gitmo should be closed immediately, and I'll be talking with a guest today after 7 o'clock about why he says it should remain open. We're talking about Wisconsin's minimum markup law and a lawsuit that has been filed against the state's minimum markup law by our guest, Bob McNamara, staff attorney for the Institute for Justice. The Institute for Justice describes itself as a libertarian public interest law firm. Simply put, according to the website, we sue the government when it stands in the way of people trying to earn an honest living. We've been getting a lot of calls and emails from people who are apparently very interested in exactly what the Institute for Justice is and who are the funders behind this particular effort. But Bob McNamara, you're basically libertarian. You don't want unnecessary government regulation.
That's exactly right. We believe in a vision of this country where individuals can take responsibility for their own destinies as free and responsible members of a free society.
Yeah. We did get an email from Helen in New Glarus, who, besides asking that, states, "It seems that eliminating this law will enable larger retailers to offer the gas at less than cost, like Burger King can offer burgers at less than cost because it makes money on French fries and soft drinks." Comment?
We're fortunate in that we have more than 30 states that allow the sorts of competition that Wisconsin bans, and we simply don't see any of these negative consequences in these other states, that we don't see larger players forcing out the small retailers, especially in the gas market. The gas market is very well suited to the small entrepreneurs, to the single stations who can offer the sorts of creative discount programs that are illegal in Wisconsin.
Yeah. How can you say you don't see the smaller retailers being forced out of business? I mean, are you keeping track? And when a small gas station goes out of business, you find out why that is, and they say, you know, I mean, how do you know that?
Well, what we don't see is the control of the market, the takeover of a market in these other 30 states, more than 30 states, by the larger players. Obviously, the market is constantly in motion. There are small gas stations. There are large gas stations. But what we see in the vast majority of states that allow this kind of competition is a market that looks a lot like the market everywhere else. There are small gas stations, there are large gas stations, and there have been academic studies of minimum markup laws in the gasoline and the retail gasoline market, and they've shown that these laws appear to accomplish nothing except increasing the profit margins of gas stations. They don't serve to create more competition, that they don't serve to create more small retailers. What they serve to do is create more profits for the larger established players already in the industry.
Yeah. Adam in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd just like to say that as tragic as I think it is with small business owners like Raj are getting squelched out by big business, you know, I have a hard time feeling sorry for them because, you know, this goes on in so many different areas in, I guess, everyday life. For instance, I'm a pharmacist, and, you know, there used to be a lot of mom-and-pop pharmacists out there. And places like Walgreens, CVS, had basically completely stomped them into the ground. So, I mean, this issue that we're talking about dealing with gas owners and, you know, private owners versus, you know, larger corporations, you know, this is just a very small scope of the real issue. So thank you very much for taking my phone call.
Well, thanks, Adam. I guess it is related. And what about the big pharmacists stomped the little mom and pop pharmacists out of business? They didn't have a minimum markup law, apparently, to that, you know, for the big pharmacists.
Well, I think the main point is that what we need to do in the first instance is make sure that the small entrepreneurs and the small businessmen have the legal right to compete in the first place, which is really what we have going on here, where Raj isn't even allowed to try to beat the bigger players. He has ideas. Raj is full of ideas of creative things he'd like to offer his customers. And he's not asking for any special government protection. All he wants is the opportunity to use his work ethic and business judgment to provide his customers with the best service at the lowest price he can. And he's not allowed to do that. And at a bare minimum, it shouldn't be illegal for the small businessmen to compete with the bigger businessmen on an open market.
Yeah. Chuck in Endeavor is with us now. Hi, Chuck.
Yes, good morning to you and your guests.
Good morning.
I guess my cynical antenna goes up when I hear the champion of the small guy coming from the libertarians. Too often I've seen from the Bush administration things called the Healthy Forest Act, which really is an initiative to clear-cut weakening of the Clean Water Act, some lofty-sounding environmental name, when it actually isn't that. But I guess my question for your guest would be, if these price controls are eased for the small businessman in his initiative to do this, would it also apply to the big dealers? And if it does, how is that going to level the playing field?
Well, do you understand, Bob McNamara?
Yes. This law currently technically applies to both the small players and the bigger gas stations. But as we were discussing earlier in the hour, if you're a larger gas retailer, you already have a number of options to get around the law at your disposal. We were talking earlier about partnerships with grocery store chains, where the grocery store will actually fund the discount on the gas, which means the larger gas station is effectively selling their gas at a lower price without running afoul of the law. So what we have here is the sorts of competition, the sorts of programs that would be offered by a smaller businessman like Raj, which would be a discount that's funded out of his own pocket, are illegal. But the sorts of discount programs that can be offered by the larger businesses, the partnerships with larger corporations, partnerships with other chain stores, are perfectly legal. And so what we have here is a direct ban on only the types of price competition that would be favored by small businesses.
Well, let's take the Raj as an example, and maybe his gas is going for $3.07. Well, if one of the big players in the gas industry, chain stations, lowers their gas to $3.05, what's to stop him from doing that?
What's to stop Raj from lowering his gas to $3.05?
Yeah, I really don't see how it would be illegal in any way.
Well, there are two answers to that. First, if the large chain lowers their gas to $3.05, Raj might want to lower his to $3.04 to actually compete on price, which would be illegal. He wouldn't be able to undercut the competition. And second, Raj also wants to offer a number of customer loyalty programs and discount programs to build stronger ties with his community and build customer loyalty to his station that he's not allowed to do under the law. That the bigger chains don't necessarily just cut their prices. They have the opportunity to partner with other chain stores, with other corporations, to have corporate-funded refunds that lower their prices. And what Raj would like to do, simple programs like if you have a membership card for my gas station, on every fifth visit you get a free gallon of gas, is illegal under Wisconsin law. And that's the sort of program that you really need to be able to offer if you're going to build the relationship with your community that you desperately need if you're going to survive as an entrepreneur, especially a small-town entrepreneur where the most important thing is building a relationship with the community and building customer loyalty. We see these programs all across the country. They're an incredibly common and beneficial business practice that have been used for time immemorial to help entrepreneurs build roots in their communities and save their customers money. And Wisconsin is just flatly banning them.
Yeah, we are only have less than a minute here, 30 seconds. This is going to take probably years for this suit to go through the courts.
Yes, the wheels of justice grind slowly, but we expect a verdict from the trial court hopefully within the year.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Bob McNamara, staff attorney for the Institute for Justice. He is lead attorney in this lawsuit that has been filed against the state's minimum markup law. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and to Christina Taylor for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.